The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the blockbuster deals that completely reshape the NFL draft. Who is going where? We've got all the answers. Then, Buccaneer Bruce doesn't sound so fun-loving when he describes what's next for his Super Bowl champs. Wait till you hear what he said. And then, speaking of big statements, you won't believe what one NBA coach said this young star is about to become. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. From New York City, I am Greeny, and delighted you've chosen to get up with us. Hope you had a great weekend. So much sports to dive into. It all really began Friday afternoon, and we've got the crew to talk about it with us this morning. Orlowski, Tannenbaum, and I are just here to watch Dominique and Kimberly bicker. That's pretty much what this day is guaranteed to be. That is on the way. But we begin with the thriller of the night from the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16 action, and it was spectacular. 11 seed UCLA, 2 seed Alabama, 19 seconds to play. UCLA down one. Cody Riley, 2 of his 10, the Bruins take the lead. Same score, 7 seconds left. Herbert Jones, 2 foul shots. He's a 74% shooter, misses the first with his team down one. The pressure now on the second attempt. Oh, it's no good. Alabama has to foul, and they do, and UCLA thinks we're going on. They would make both free throws. Last chance, Bama, down by 3. 4 seconds to go. Does UCLA foul? No, they don't. Alex Reese for the tie. It's good. Alex Reese, his only points of the game at the buzzer. Send this one into overtime. And you're thinking the 2 seed has reclaimed all the momentum, but hold on. The overtime would belong to the Bruins. Up 5, David Singleton. Yes, plus the foul. He had 15 off the bench. The Bruins can feel it. Under 2 to play in the OT. UCLA by 4. Jaime Jaquez Jr., yes, for 3. He had 17 points, 8 boards. And UCLA dances on to the Elite 8. Another stunner. And so the field is set with the Final 8, and it has a West Coast feel. Half the teams are from the Pacific Coast, including 3 from the Pac-12. It resumes tonight, the right side of the bracket. South and Midwest regions, winners will face each other in the Final 4, and then tomorrow they finish it up. Again, the Monday, Tuesday for the Elite 8 this year. We'll get back to that. Meanwhile, let's get to what happened on Friday. It was nuts. The Niners setting the trade frenzy in motion as they moved up, sending the 12th pick overall, plus 2 additional firsts and a 3rd to the Dolphins for the number 3 pick in this year's draft. Miami continued the wheeling and dealing. They took that 12th pick. They packaged it together with some other moves and went up to get the Eagles pick at number 6. So Miami is now 6 overall. The Eagles are at 12. They could have as many as 3 first-round picks in next year's draft, depending on the compensation for Carson Wentz. That'll turn out based upon how much he plays this year. One way or another, it was nuts. And here's the current draft order of the top 15 picks. Remember, Mel Kiper, in his latest mock, had 4 quarterbacks going in the top 4. And the assumption is that remains the same, with San Francisco making the move up there to get the 3rd pick. So now that we have had the weekend to digest all of this, I turn to our quarterback, Dan Orlowski. What is the number one most important thought you have coming out of those huge trades on Friday?
Yeah, San Francisco went up to go get either Mac Jones or Trey Lance. I think the reality is that Kyle Shanahan, their head coach, probably loves Mac Jones, and the organization is very much so intrigued by Trey Lance. If we think about Kyle Shanahan, I played underneath him, and the 2 of the things that he used to stress all the time that he loved physically when it came to a quarterback was 1, a natural throwing motion, and then 2, this upper body torque to be able to throw when your feet aren't perfect. 2 quarterbacks at the top of this draft have those 2 physical traits. 1, Zach Wilson, and 2, Mac Jones. It's a perfect fit for Mac Jones to go in and play really well. And I also think that this organization has some intrigued with a guy, Trey Lance, that has almost unlimited physical traits.
I like what you're saying there, but I think that Kyle Shanahan has probably learned some things since you were under him, and those things were taught to him by probably Patrick Mahomes and also Jimmy Garoppolo. So, like, I think those things change. What he saw Patrick Mahomes being able to do might lead him to look at somebody like Trey Lance. And the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo kind of stayed injured might lead him to look at somebody like Justin Fields. Like, I think that maybe his opinion of quarterback and what he's looking for in quarterback always been athleticism, going back to his father. He's always wanted, all the way back to John Elway, an athletic quarterback who can move. Which, I mean, that leads me to look more at Justin Fields, a tough guy who can take a shot in the ribs and still throw a million touchdowns in a championship game. Like, given what happened with Jimmy the last couple years, I could see them looking at that, looking at him, and given what happened to them in the Super Bowl, I could see them looking at a guy like Trey Lance and trying to recreate what they did in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes.
It does feel like those will be the three quarterbacks that'll be options for them. Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson figure to be off the board. So going up to three, you're looking at Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones. And Mike Tannenbaum, you have sneaky big news that might give us a hint as to which way they're leaning.
So Greeny, tomorrow there's a pro day at both Alabama and reportedly both John Lynch, the general manager of the 49ers, and Kyle Shanahan are going to be in Tuscaloosa to watch Mac Jones throw instead of Justin Fields at Ohio State. And again, that's not necessarily outcome determinative, but I think it's a very strong signal of which way they're leaning. And I do agree with Dan that Mac Jones is a perfect fit with Kyle Shanahan. And one thing that I think bears noting here, which is I have sat in that seat for two different teams. I think it's unbelievable to trade up two ones and a three for a quarterback in Trey Lance that started one game this year. I love Trey Lance. I think he has a chance to be really special. But you're talking about a risk and putting all your chips in the middle of the table. I think it's inconceivable that they would trade up so much draft capital for a quarterback that started one game.
Sure. You want to make sure everyone understands that circumstance. He started one game because his team basically opted out of the season, then created a one-game season in order to give him a showcase. So it wasn't his fault that he only played one-game season, but the fact remains. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I think that, but that's the reality, is they realized that Kyle Shanahan loves Mac Jones and wants to go get Mac Jones, while there's still some within their building that are very much so intrigued by the talent, the long-term talent of Trey Lance. And so going to get up to going to three, it confirms that they're going to get either of those guys, and they still have four or so weeks to figure it out. I do want to attack this point, though, Greeny, because everyone continues to talk about Mac Jones and his lack of athleticism like it's an elderly person on the football field. Two out of the last four Super Bowls, Kyle Shanahan has been in. He's done so with Matt Ryan, and he's done so with Jimmy Garoppolo. Matt Ryan ran 4.89. Jimmy Garoppolo ran 4.97. Mac Jones ran 4.83. Technically, at least straight line-wise, Mac Jones is a better athlete than both of the quarterbacks that have gone to the Super Bowl with Kyle Shanahan recently.
I don't know. I don't know if we have enough time to get into all the topics that this presents, but okay, he's just as athletic as Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Ryan. Let's be clear that there's a different level of athleticism we're talking about Fields or Lance. So that's the only point that I think people are making. No one's saying that Mac Jones is not an athlete. And the other Mac Jones point that I'd like to like combat a little bit, that there's this belief that Mac Jones is the most sure thing because he's so experienced and he's done so much. Like, he's played one season. It was an incredible season.
I agree.
But let's not pretend that Mac Jones is a three-year starter that's dominated all 3 years, and that Mac Jones is a sure kind of translation to the next level. So we keep framing Mac Jones in part because I think he stepped in for Tua and he's in Alabama. We're framing Mac Jones as the kind of low risk or high floor, low ceiling guy. I'm not so sure that we can say that off of one season of football when everyone was kind of in shambles because of the coronavirus. We still have to understand that Mac Jones is no more sure thing than anybody else on this roster. Maybe Trey Lance, because Trey Lance played one game this last year and played in a conference that didn't have much talent.
But he played in a full season the year before, and Mac Jones did not. Mac Jones took over when Tua got hurt. They've actually started a very similar number of games. But Jones did it at Alabama and won a national championship, and Trey Lance did it at North Dakota State, and that is what it is. Meanwhile, I think it is important to bring in – well, I want to get Kimberly in here, so let me work the Eagles into this, but there's so much more in this that we can obviously continue to work through. But the other team that was involved in these trades, of course, was the Eagles. They're the ones who moved themselves out of that very top echelon in the draft. And the AP reporter for the Eagles, Rob Motti, put out a tweet shedding light on the quarterback situation there.
tweeting, "The Eagles are unsure about Jalen Hurts. No consensus in the building. After beating the Saints, they wanted to get rid of Carson Wentz. After next three losses, they want to work it out with Carson. After trading Carson, they considered a trade up for a QB before trading down to 12. So it sounds like they're kind of all over the place. And candidly, if you've paid attention to the way they've gone about things, that seems consistent with the way the inconsistency has been there. So, Kimberly, let me bring you in on all of this. What does this mean in Philly? We see all the stuff with San Francisco. We see all the stuff with Miami. They position themselves to get a great weapon for Tua Tagovailoa. What exactly is Philadelphia doing?
Greeny, if you know, let me know. Listen, they've at least shown by moving back that they're going to try to fill the roster with some talent and keep Jalen Hurts. But if you look at all the moves they've made recently, it's hard to figure out what exactly the Eagles want to do and what direction they want to go, because they originally loved Carson Wentz and gave him a ton of money. And then finally they were done with Carson and shipped him off. And now it's the Jalen show. We think, because he's only started four games, we still don't know what Jalen Hurts is. A lot of potential, but he needs this season to figure out, for the Eagles to figure out what they have, and the Eagles have to at least build around him for the time being.
Well, Dan Orlovsky, I feel like they did what you were recommending last week that they do, which is give Hurts a shot for the season. Sure. They bring in a seasoned backup in Joe Flacco, who, you know, that he figures to play that role nicely. And now they trade back out of six. They start stockpiling picks, and they start rebuilding the team. That was verbatim what you said last week you thought they should do.
Yeah, 100%, Greeny. But I also think what transpired Friday puts them into the Russell Wilson conversation for the now and the future. Okay, this is a bad football team, so I like the fact that they're not making panic decisions. But the reality is they now have a young quarterback, Jalen Hurts, and probably four first-round picks over the next two seasons, this year and next year. So and we know that they've sniffed around Deshaun Watson. If you have sniffed around Deshaun Watson, you for sure better be sniffing around Russell Wilson. And now this at least gives Philadelphia two options. They can, one, figure out what they have in Jalen Hurts. I've said that for weeks now. Or two, they can go, we've got Jalen Hurts to Seattle. And you could take our four first-round picks over the next 2 years and give us Russell Wilson if he's willing to come to our organization.
It's an interesting way of looking at it. Neek, what do you see from this whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like they probably were willing to move up if they thought they could get a franchise changer. And then when they realized they couldn't, then they were like, let's scrap it and rebuild this team, which I agree with Dan is the right way to go. But what happened to my man Sudfeld? I thought they were giving him some reps at the end of the year to see what they have. Is he out of the conversation? Is Nate Sudfeld out of the conversation? Bring in Nate.
Here you go.
They wanted to see what they had in Nate Sudfeld at the end of the year. But you know what? At the end of the day, this tanking they did, it kind of worked in their favor, right? Yeah. There they were sitting at six.
Only if they make the picks well, Greeny. We know what the draft pick selection history has been over the past couple years. So only if you hit on the picks does it pay off.
That's a whole other problem. That's 100% right. All right, we're just getting started. Look, it's going to be nuts today. Put your feet up. We got a phenomenal show. We still haven't gotten to this. Bruce Arians with a stern warning for the defending champs about training camp, but Neek will tell you why at least one person doesn't need to worry about it. And then the question remains at number two. Do the Jets stick with their man or take Zach Wilson? One member of our crew says they've already made up their minds. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. All right, Kimberly Martin, lots of NFL news over the weekend. Let's run the hurry up. Let's start with the NFL season.
say goodbye to a 16-game schedule. The NFL owners are expected to approve an additional regular season game during this week's virtual league meeting. So the meetings take place Tuesday and Wednesday, and we expect to get 17 games out of that. I believe this is the first game change since 1978. And as you can imagine, Greeny, a lot of players have strong opinions on adding an extra game.
We'll talk a lot about that a little bit later. Dominique will chime in as well. How about what's next?
Yep. Listen, you guys, everybody wanted another weapon for Lamar Jackson. Well, guess what? He has one. Sammy Watkins has agreed to a one-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens. It, of course, is pending a physical. But if he's healthy, that means you'll pair him with Marquise Hollywood Brown to improve that listless Ravens passing attack.
And then Sam Darnold.
All right, Greeny. I know you care about the Jets. Well, do you think the Jets are still going to be able to get a first or second round pick for Sam Darnold? I don't think so. At least the conversations I've had with NFL GMs, I asked them, what would you give up? And they told me, maybe a third, a late third, or even maybe a conditional fourth. I'm curious what you think about that, Greeny.
I don't think you have to wonder what I think. I assume that's a rhetorical question. I'm obviously disgusted by that in every way that a person can be. And it actually perfectly sets up our next subject. So I want everyone to see the juxtaposition of these two plays, okay? So Zach Wilson, the phenom quarterback from BYU, his pro day was Friday, and everyone was raving about this throw where he's rolling to his left and then throwing the ball back across his body to the right on a dime all the way. And everyone, oh, it's the greatest play we've ever seen. This is the reason why they need to draft him. But as Lewis Riddick pointed out on Twitter, the Jets' current quarterback, Sam Darnold, made the exact same play, only he did it in an actual game with defenders actually trying to stop him from doing it. You see, he actually maintains his balance and makes almost exactly the same throw. And Lewis Riddick posted that on Twitter, and he wrote, but I thought this kind of throw had never, ever, ever been made before yesterday, which is about as good a use of the medium of Twitter as I've ever seen, parenthetically. But so I saw that and my head just about wanted to explode because, you know, Orlovsky, okay, look at Dan. Go ahead, Dan, the floor is yours.
So I heard a lot of Sam Darnold truthers out this weekend. I love the point by Lewis. Listen, first of all, it's a sick throw by Zach Wilson. I don't want to knock the kid. That throw is sick. It's one of the sickest throws I have seen. I was with Matthew Stafford for 3 years. He would do stuff like this in practice. You'd be like, holy smokes, man. I don't know how you made that throw. So it's a sick throw. I think the reality is this, Greeny. After Friday, the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson, okay? They're going to take him with the number two pick. But that being said, it's not going to fix the organization. This throw by Zach Wilson is not going to dig this organization out of the gutter. It will not flip this organization. Guess why? Because they already have a guy on their football team that makes this kind of throw. What the Jets need to figure out with Zach Wilson is he going to handle the stress of being the number two pick? Is he going to handle the burden and expectation? Because he's not only the number two pick. He's the number two pick to an organization that has a guy that's like him and also is going to be passing on what looks like four first-round picks to trade out of that slot to select a guy like Zach Wilson. So they better figure out, does Zach Wilson's off-the-field talent match his on-the-field talent? Does he have Lamar Jackson's competitive spirit and Josh Allen's ability for his teammates to absolutely love him? Does he have Baker Mayfield's moxie? Does he have Patrick Mahomes' alpha leadership? Because that throw, it's awesome. But that throw is not going to fix the New York Jets. Sam Darnold couldn't do it, and he did it in a football game.
How about that, Nick? How about the idea that we see a splash play like that and all of a sudden the entire internet says, well, there you go. He's the second pick in the draft. What else do we need to talk about? What do you think of when you hear that?
I hate to be the one raining on the parade, but again, it's fun. Let's take it for what it is. It's exciting. It's fun. It's a lot like when you see a basketball prospect do an incredible dunk.
Yeah.
You love it. You want to celebrate it. You jump out of your chair. But that's not going to win you a championship. And everything that Dan said is exactly right. A guy like Zach Wilson, the question isn't can he throw the football deep or accurately or across his body. We already know that. The answer is yes, we knew that because we've seen him do it in games. But the question is, are the other additions that they've made to that organization going to help bolster Zach into being the quarterback that Sam Darnold could never become in that city? And maybe it's all Sam's fault or maybe it's not all his fault, but it doesn't matter at this point. His time is done. He's going to be out. It's going to be Zach Wilson's turn, and hopefully for you, Greeny, and all Jets fans, they figured out everything around him, not just the quarterback.
Right. Well, I agree with you. I can tell you for certain it's not all his fault, but it is what's going to happen. I agree with that. So, Tannenbaum, let me come to you. You were a person who has sat in this chair. The decision that the team is making, the team at number two, when you look at what San Francisco gave up to move up from 12 to 3, let's just say conservatively, they're choosing Zach Wilson over Sam Darnold and let's call it 3 number one picks. Mm. Is that the right decision, Mike Tannenbaum?
I believe it is. And Greeny, much to Dan Orlovsky's chagrin, look at the massive gap that the Jets are evaluating these two players. They could have literally had Zach Wilson or Darnold, the 12th pick, a 1-3 next year and a 1 in 2023. That is a massive difference in the evaluation of those two quarterbacks. Put those throws aside, but just player to player, it was either package A or package B. And I happen to agree that Joe Douglas and the Jets made the right decision to say, hey, we're going to go with Zach Wilson. I think he's just at a much higher level than Sam Darnold. I think his ceiling's higher, and he's also been more consistent. So, but that was really the lead that came out of the weekend to me. It wasn't about Miami, Philly, or San Francisco. Joe Douglas and the Jets made their decision. It's Zach Wilson, despite a massive haul they could have had from San Francisco.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
I agree with that. I think that the caveat that I would throw in there, Mike T, is the if Sam Darnold was in his second year and they had 3 more years of evaluation and the cheap contract, I do think that would factor in it as well. This is the thing for me is I get it. The talent is remarkable. But Sam Darnold 3 or 4 years ago had an awesome pro day as well. I remember it was in the rain and everyone was like, wow, he threw the absolute tar out of the football in the rain. He looks amazing. And I know this because I've talked to people within that organization. Sam Darnold's football character is off the charts. His leadership is great. And that is a real thing in the NFL. I have said this for months now. Find me the last top 5 selection at quarterback that flipped an organization. And all of them are talented. They're all talented players. It takes a special person to do it. And that's my hang up. And Mike T, I would love to ask you this question. Does the character concerns, I'll quote them as, around Zach Wilson and the lack of the captaincy, missions, non-mission, coach-selected captain, does that factor into this at all, or is the talent that just extreme?
We'll make that a tease because I have to go to a break with the bottom of the hour coming up. We will answer that question and many more, I promise you, as we continue. And we'll also do this. Bruce Arians has choice words for the Bucks. Should they be taking notice or rolling their eyes? Dominique has a definitive answer. And we'll see if Dan can answer this. Who is the longest tenured active player on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? That's Sneaky Hembo. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up. And did everybody get a load of this? Did you see Derrick Henry's push-up routine? He's balancing on a ball. He's doing push-ups. He's got this huge chain. Dominique, what?
I mean, I'm happy that I'm sitting in this safe little box right here away from that scary monster because he's just looking for new ways to hurt DBs, and I don't like it one bit.
Dan, what?
Yeah, I'm going to go do this afternoon, guys. I'm not impressed at all. I mean, he only has a 50-pound chain hanging from his neck with his feet on a balance ball, and he's doing push-ups on a band. Not overly impressive.
The question is, what's more impressive, that or what he did to Josh?
No. This is the second time have put this on this show.
The play didn't even count. The play didn't even count. Stop doing this to my man, Josh.
You
this
guys
is...
just had this highlight on the 17-game conversation, and now you put it in again.
You see the yellow flag up there? It's a penalty. The play didn't even count. awful.
And yet it was my favorite play of the entire season because I've spent my entire athletic life being on the other end of that stiff arm, and it makes me feel better about myself to see it happen to someone else. In the meantime, here we go, Orlovsky. No more stalling. Here's the question as we turn our attention to the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Too easy.
Who's the longest-tenured player on their roster? It's too easy. Who is it?
Hembo, I was there when they drafted him. It's Levante David.
Ooh, that's right. Usually when he says it's too easy, he's wrong. But it is Levante David. That's 9 years there. William Golston has been there 8. Cameron Brate and Mike Evans 7 each. And Orlovsky takes down Hembo. That's well done. Meanwhile, we're talking about the Bucs because they're bringing back all 22 of their starters. The 22 players who started the Super Bowl are all under contract as they try to become the first team to repeat since the 2004 Patriots. Bruce Arians, talking about how he intends to motivate his team, said the following: when our guys come back, and that's my job, I'm going to beat the blank out of them. We're going to go back to basics. We're going to have one hell of a training camp and know what our foundation is. He said that on the Loose Cannons podcast, and my immediate... Well, Dominique, why are you looking that way? What is with that look?
I mean, I played football since I was 8 years old, and every single coach that I've ever had said that before training camp.
Yes.
That's just what coaches say. We're going to be the toughest. No one's going to outwork us. This is going to be the hardest training camp you've ever been through. Blah, 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 blah. But one thing I do know is Dan Orlovsky knows nothing about a difficult training camp because quarterbacks, like, you got 6-step drop, 5-step, 3-step. That's
wow.
It. Maybe your shoulder gets a little sore, but you guys don't go through training camp. You just go through like a extended mini camp, I guess. You don't understand what training camp is like.
All right. So first of all, that same message BA gave, I gave to our kids on Westport lacrosse Saturday morning. I gave it to my son's lacrosse team. Second of all, when it comes to training camp, I'll share a little story to rebuttal Don. I used to, when we were in Detroit, our practice facility is right across the street from the TPC of Michigan. My second, third, and fourth year, a veteran, John Kitna, came in. And so we would practice in the morning. This is when we had 3 days. Practice in the morning. Kit and I would just run into the locker room, keep our practice clothes on, run to our cars, switch into our golf gear so no one would see us. We'd go play 18 holes of golf, come back, practice, go back and do it again in the afternoon. So we'd get 2 rounds of 18 holes of golf, and we play 18 holes in like an hour and 30, hour and 40, and 3 practices. So to Dom's point, yes, practice for training camp quarterbacks is a little bit easier than other positions.
With your red jersey. Two things off of that, Mike Greenberg. One, while you're playing golf, the rest of us are in the training room or taking a nap because we're exhausted. And two, what was you guys' records back then?
See,
never
that,
mind.
Like,
moving on.
Like that was unnecessary. Like that was unnecessary for
yes.
me to share that story. And then you take the record shot uncalled for.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad you said it, so I didn't. I was going to say perhaps if the quarterbacks had been taking training camp a little more seriously, your team might have won a single game that season.
No, we didn't lose games that season because John and I played golf. We lost that game because we had no talent and we stunk.
That's fair. I'm just joking. It wasn't the golf part.
But
you didn't win any games that season because you played golf. So we know for sure one of them is not true. We don't know about the other. Let me segue to actually... Unimaginably, I'm going to segue from that to a pretty serious question, which is that it is now practically a certainty that the NFL is going to go to a 17-game schedule. And this comes to me, I don't think this is getting nearly enough attention. There are so many things about this that are significant from a fan's perspective and maybe most of all from a player's perspective. And we have the unique opportunity, if you will, to have Dominique Foxworth on our show. And Dominique, again, you were the president of the NFL Players Association, so no one understands the issues here better than you do. And I just want to give you the floor first. What is your reaction to now this virtual certainty that the NFL is going to go to a 17-game schedule?
I mean, it's obviously about money to extend the schedule, finding new ways to generate more revenue, which I think in theory is good for everybody. That means a higher cap, and that means more money for the owners, means more money for the players. But the biggest problem I have with this, and putting the health and safety things aside, it's that the players for whom this is going to be the most difficult and the most onerous, the players for whom their careers will be shortened, the players for whom they will not make more money, those players are not the players who are going to benefit from this. So we started this conversation talking about how quarterbacks, don't really participate in training camp. And we've seen that quarterbacks are playing longer and longer, and the star players will be protected. But there are going to be a lot of guys who have their careers shortened from maybe 2 to 3 years to 1 or 2 years, maybe 5 or 6 years to 4 or 5 years. And that is millions of dollars that will not go to them. So while the cap continues to rise, the guys who do not have the negotiating leverage to extract more value from that cap, those guys are going to be kind of ground up and run out of the league. So I would suggest that the league and the union figure out some mechanism to assure that the players who are who will have their careers shortened from this, the players who will likely suffer some career-impacting injuries because of the extension of the season, that those players also participate in the gains as much, because I know that the minimums will go up, but as much as the superstar players, because that's what's going to happen. Is quarterback salaries are going to continue to go through the roof, and then other players, like the rank and file, they're going to be out of the league after 2 or 3 years and not even be able to reap the benefits of the 17th game.
It's an interesting and important point. It's one I hadn't thought of till you brought it up earlier today. You will see the quarterback salaries explode, and you will see a lot of the other guys getting paid about the same as they're getting paid now. Dan, just a thought from you as a longtime former player on a 17th game.
Yeah, I just want to know what the trade-off is, because Dom's exactly right with all the taxing on so many players, but is the offseason going to be drastically different so guys' bodies can kind of heal from that longer season and also have a longer break heading into the season? Is it going to be we've heard the conversation of more Zoom in the offseason? Is there going to be less mandatory mini camps or training camps or OTA? So what's going to be the trade-off for players? And is it going to be enough to impact that 17th edition, that edition of one more game? That's the biggest question, because they got to make it worthy for the players. They have to make the trade-off fair enough where the players could sit there and go, okay, I'm going to be asked to do more in season. I'll be asked to do less in the offseason.
Another buy would be nice, which they did not add, but I do think that some people would argue that the training camps and all those mini camps, like those are the things that will strengthen your body and make it so you can sustain the 17th game. But we all do know that that last game, like adding another football game, we know how enormous that is, how taxing that is on the players. So let's not allow anyone to convince us that this is not going to hurt a lot of players' careers. Sure. That's the thing that I'm afraid of, is while we focus on how fun this will be, we have to understand that some guys will have their careers shortened because of it.
Oh, for sure. There is a lot here to dive into. Again, the expectation is the owners will approve that this week, as they have the right to do based upon the new collective bargaining agreement. Okay, let's have a little fun. This is the first time that you two guys, Dan and Neek, have been together with us since this happened.
We'll do it. We'll do it. Shake on it. Artificial shake. There
and
you
I
go.
Bet you that UConn beats Maryland on Friday night.
What? You stop your lies.
Okay, so that happened, and then this happened, because Maryland beat UConn, and so Dan Orlovsky had to pay up, and this weekend posted that. Dan Orlovsky, how are you feeling about yourself now? I can see from the look on your face, your favorite moment.
I think UConn beat UConn. I mean, they were like 9 from 45 from the field to be in the first half, so it was atrocious. It was like watching Toll Brothers build houses. I will say this, though. While those colors are hideous, the gear was kind of sweet.
Neek, your reaction.
The field goal percentage is called good defense. It's just like a quarterback to just think that it's all your fault. It's not a result of them getting locked down and strapped up.
What
and
happened
you're lucky.
The next game?
It doesn't matter. I mean, what type of loser nonsense is that? Well, you lost anyway the next game. Like, you couldn't beat the Terps, and you look cute in that yellow hoodie. It was nice. It's the best you've ever looked.
The gear is sweet. The colors are ugly. The gear is sweet.
All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. The conversation will take a turn as we continue in just a moment. After all the wheeling and dealing, the Niners ended up with a third pick in the draft. Does that mean their current quarterback was the biggest loser in all of this? We'll answer that question next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and we're going to go on the clock with the winners and losers of the huge trade from Friday with the Niners moving up to number 3. Dominique, who do you consider to be a winner in the trade between the 49ers and the Dolphins? 30 seconds, go.
I think it's Justin Fields, and I know that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are skipping his pro day to go to Mac Jones's, but to me, it's not much you can learn from a pro day. I think Justin Fields is incredibly accurate, strong arm, and tough quarterback. It'd be hard for me to imagine that they're going to pass up on that for one of these other quarterbacks. I think he wins in part because he's probably going to get drafted there, and mostly because he gets to go into a team that is pretty close to complete, which rarely happens if you're drafted in the top 5. He's going to go to a pretty close to complete team with a great offensive coordinator. Congratulations to him.
Now, whoever drafts him, that quarterback, whatever they take, might wind up being the big winner. Kimberly, you're next. How about a loser? Give me a loser in this trade. 30 seconds, go.
Okay, Jimmy G may be the 49ers guy right now, but he won't be the guy for long. Think about it, Greeny. A year ago, he was in the Super Bowl, and now his team has traded the farm to get his eventual replacement. Whether it's Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, it doesn't matter, because Jimmy G might be there this year, but you know that his time with the 49ers, it's not going to go on much longer.
Right, and I agree with that, and I understand the basis of what you're saying. What I will say in response is that no one with that amount of money who looks the way he does is ever a loser in any sense that really matters.
All right, okay,
but I understand
fair.
What
fair
you're
point.
Saying. And speaking of handsome, Mike Tannenbaum, you are next. Who is your biggest winner of this deal with the Niners moving up to 3? 30 seconds, go.
Speaking of handsome, the handsome starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa. You know, there was some speculation, could Miami at 3 take Trey Lance, Justin Fields, or Mac Jones? And I'm glad they're staying patient. They believed in him last year, came off a big hip surgery, has a full off season. They got better weapons around him in Will Fuller. Presumably, they'll take somebody else at 6. So Tua Tagovailoa, being the starting quarterback of Miami, big winner. He has a much better foundation for success this year than he did last year, playing as a rookie, coming off of surgery with no offseason program.
Yes, I think that's a point well taken. It is a near certainty. I guess it isn't for certain, but a near certainty that either Ja'Marr Chase or Kyle Pitts, who both look like NFL superstars waiting to happen, will be available for them at number 6. But with all these high profile quarterbacks being up there near the top, the Dolphins make the decision to move out of that spot and sort of circle around Tua. Dominique, do you think that was the right thing to do?
Yeah, I absolutely think it was the right thing to do. I think there are plenty of reasonable excuses or explanations for Tua's struggles last year, and it's not as if Tua was an abject failure. He just struggled a bit coming off of a serious injury into a season that didn't have a legitimate training camp or true offseason. I think that he deserves the support that they're going to give him. And the tough thing is the pressure is going to go up on him because they have a great tight end in Gesicki. They're going to add another weapon. They're going to bolster that offensive line. And they already have they've added Fuller and they have Devontae Parker. Like, this is going to be a pretty loaded roster. So he better ball out this year because there's going to be no more excuses. And they'll still have the capital to move up in the draft the following season. So I think this is a make or break year for Tua. But the good news is he has all the tools to get it done.
Yeah, the safety net of Ryan Fitzpatrick is no longer there. Just quickly, as they sit now, putting one of those good weapons on Miami, are they ready to challenge Buffalo in that division? Think about what New England has done. Right now, Neek, who's the team to beat in the AFC East? Quick.
Oh, yeah, it's Buffalo. I think Buffalo's still the team to beat. They haven't gotten any worse, and we haven't seen Tua play at a high level yet. If we see that from Tua, then maybe I'll switch over to Miami. But right now, Buffalo's the team to beat.
Okay, we will come back with much more on the NFL as we roll on. But now to the NBA and the weekend wrap up, and it was busy. Saturday, the Pelicans beat the Mavericks behind 38 points from Zion Williamson. He has been on fire. It was his second straight game with at least 35. He's been simply sensational of late. But the big stories in the NBA were the post-trade deadline wheeling and dealing. The Lakers have signed Andre Drummond, they announced. Yesterday, the Lakers star players and front office recruiting Drummond hard, selling him on the opportunity to step into the defending champion's starting lineup. That coming a day after LaMarcus Aldridge, a seven-time All-Star, agrees to sign with the Nets for the rest of the year, joining that loaded roster as Brooklyn pursues its first NBA championship. And that led our friend Stephen A. Smith to say this.
So what's next? I mean, what, we going to get the ball boy next? I mean, this is almost like buying a championship, for crying out loud. What about competition? We just going to get everybody now? Everybody? But if we just going to stockpile and get everybody and everybody running to Brooklyn to try to steal a championship, I mean, come on.
Buy a championship. Here's the one and only Jay Williams, the Jay from KJZ. What do you think? You heard what Steve said. What do you think?
Everybody has opportunity to go out and get players. I mean, the Lakers got Andre Drummond. That's a huge addition for the Lakers. I will say this. When James Harden came over to the Nets, I already thought it was over, Greeny. I said it multiple times. This is the best scoring trio the game has ever seen. Mm-hmm. That turned into a debate about, hey, are they the best team? I said, no, I didn't say they're the best team. That's Golden State with KD, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. But the way these guys can score, yes, they're the best scoring trio. I think bringing Blake Griffin over and now LaMarcus Aldridge are pieces that help unlock them. LaMarcus Aldridge was an All-Star a couple years ago. If you've been paying attention to basketball, he hasn't been that great over the last couple of years, okay? He's a guy that can average 12 points, maybe 4 or 5 rebounds, can give you some assists here or there, but it's more about how they play. Him and Blake Griffin unlock KD, James Harden, and Kyrie in all pick and rolls. That's why it's going
to
work.
So two thoughts. One, he doesn't have to be great on this team.
Yes, he doesn't
won't be asked to carry anything. Second, I think that the problem here might be the perception that the Nets, who are already loaded, and the Lakers, who are already loaded, added players, and you look at the Utahs, the Phoenixes, the Milwaukees, the other teams, the small market teams that aren't so glamorous, that don't, and I think a lot of people look at it and say, what are they, the Washington Generals? I mean, how is this thing supposed to work?
Well, that's on the teams, though, right? I mean, the teams are allowed to offer whatever you want. Those individuals can choose whether they accept that offer or not in the buyout market. It's like an arms race, essentially. So look, teams, players at this stage of their career are finding out these are the teams they want to be on because they want to win championships. It's not a knock to smaller teams. It's just people don't feel like they can win a champ. Andre Drummond doesn't feel like he can win a championship in Phoenix. Maybe that's how he feels.
I got it. But I remember when KD went to Golden State, my immediate reaction was, he obviously can do whatever he wants. I've never criticized him for doing what he wanted to do. But it ruined the season. There was just a foregone conclusion. No one could play with them. Is the East a foregone conclusion at this point? Can anybody?
It's been a foregone conclusion, in my opinion. Anyway. I said that when James Harden went over. That's the first thing I said. Milwaukee will be there. The 76ers will be there. There are really good teams in the conference. But at the end of the day, I said it just with James Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant. If they're both on the floor, I didn't find anybody stopping this trio offensively. All this extra stuff, it's like gravy. It's like going back to the buffet and be like, oh, I'll get some extra cranberry. Yeah. I'll get some extra banana pudding. That's what Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge are. You already have a full course meal right there with that trio.
I'm with you. And then, you know, when you add a guy like Blake Griffin, you add a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, the way I look at it is, along the way, there'll be one game in the playoffs they win because they got that guy, right?
Yes.
He'll win them one game, or Aldridge will win them one game, and it goes like that. Meanwhile, I started this conversation by talking about Zion and the monster numbers that he's been putting up of late. I want you to hear what Rick Carlisle, the coach of the Mavericks, said about Zion this weekend, because I thought it was fascinating.
He's an unusual force and obviously a great player. And so, you know, we'll have to figure something a little better out next time. But he's doing this to everybody. It presents huge challenges for the defense and for the officials. You know, he is just creating collisions out there. This is a Shaquille O'Neal type force of nature with a point guard skill set.
He is a Shaquille O'Neal force of nature with a point guard skill set, says Rick Carlisle, who's been around and seen a lot. What do you think?
It's called Shaqting a PG. Not Shaqting a fool, Shaqting a PG. He's the most unique player in basketball right now on the planet. He's Karl Malone with LeBron James handles. I mean, that's how he is. And look, we always talk about the lack of skill set with Zion, like that mid-range shot. I've said it a lot, like you're wondering about that piece because he puts himself in harm's way. But when that's 260, 270 coming at you full force, he's either getting to the free throw line or he's powering through. He powers through people, not over the top of people. He has that athletic ability, but he powers through you. And he pushed Rudy Gobert down to the ground like he's mini-me. That's how he made Rudy Gobert feel. Stand next to Rudy Gobert in real life and tell me if you can push him down.
Yeah, Zion is uniquely built. So my question to you is, no one could have come into the NBA with more hype than Zion did. Is he better than you thought he'd be?
Yes, he is. And now he makes me question, at Zion Williamson's team, now what do they do with Brandon Ingram? Brandon Ingram was like that guy, like, you're waiting for him, Inspector Gadget. He's going to be a super, superstar, right? No, Zion's a super, superstar now. What do you do with Brandon Ingram? Will he be a part of this team for their long-term success?
And they'll have to make those calls. But again, on Zion himself, is he now, when we talk about the elite of the elite players in the NBA, does his name belong on that list?
Yes. Yes, it does. We had Luka Doncic as a top five candidate last year to be an MVP. The fact that Zion is putting, if he keeps putting up these numbers at this pace, yes, he is in the upper echelon of the NBA.
He came in with all the hype in the world. He seems to be fulfilling it. Mm-hmm. KJZ, again, every weekday morning, coast to coast on ESPN Radio. You're the man. Thank you, Jay. Always a pleasure. As we continue, do not miss Neek's take on why the top quarterbacks in this draft should be trying to get themselves out of two places. And you'll hear what they are next.